Hi, this is Winners Chapel International, New York. Thank you for downloading our podcast. We hope this inspires you, builds your faith, and motivates you. Please make sure you subscribe to get new messages every week. Enjoy the message.
Tonight, by the grace of God, in part two, we want to take a new dimension. And tonight, we're going to be speaking on a subtopic captioned Walking in Victory Over Sin. I'm sure somebody would like that. Maybe you've been struggling with sin. You don't know how to be in perpetual victory over sin. God is going to show us how to do that tonight. What I'm saying is, how do we gain cheap victory over sin? Now, in order to gain cheap victory over sin, we must beware of Satan's behavioral patterns that are sinful in nature. Or put it this way, certain behavioral patterns that are sinful in nature. Let's consider a few of them tonight. But before we go into that, let's define the word beware. Like I said, we must beware of certain behavioral patterns that are sinful in nature. So the word beware means to exercise caution. That is, to be cautious and alert to the dangers ahead. I'm sure some of us have seen a sign, beware of dog. If you see beware of dog here, it's not as terrible as beware of dog in Africa. Because beware of dog in America, the dog is inside the house. And it might be one little tiny thing. Woo! When you get to the dog, to the door. But when you see beware of dog in Africa, run, because the dog is right inside the fence. And if you just bust into the fence, you don't know the angle the dog can come. And it's going to be like a huge dog. And it might not even be one, maybe three or four. So you're on your own. Praise the Lord. So what am I saying tonight? Beware of certain behavioral patterns that are sinful in nature. We have to beware of certain sin. Number one thing we need to beware is the spirit of the world. Number one, beware of the spirit of the world. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, note that, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father. These are the three things in the world. When the Bible is talking about not loving the world, it's not saying don't love your neighbor, don't love. It's talking, the world here is talking, it's not talking about people. It's talking about the kingdom of Satan. That's the world here. It's not a human being. It's talking about the kingdom of Satan, the deceptive nature of Satan. And everything that Satan does in the world is categorized into these three things. Every temptation everywhere in the world is categorized into these three things. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He says it's not of the Father, and but it's of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. They that dwell the will of God abideth forever. So we must beware of the spirits of the world. The spirit of the world. Now, that was what put humanity into sin nature. Right from when Adam and Eve fell. These are the three sins. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Go with me quickly to the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. And I'm going to show you something tonight. Perhaps some of us already caught that light. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, as God said, he shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, come on now, you shall not surely die. For God does know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. Now, this is where I'm going now. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, she saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, Now, she saw that the tree was good for food. That's flesh, body. The tree was good for food. You know, that's the flesh. That's why when you want to fast, something is telling you, oh, I need to eat food. I'm hungry. So we saw the lust of flesh there. And that it was pleasant to the eyes. Pleasant to the eyes. You see certain things and you just like it. You see a woman go on the road and you can't look once and take your eyes. You have to look like two or three times. Lust of the eyes. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. Pride of life. Everyone wants to be wise. When someone talks to you, you say, don't talk to me like a fool. I know better than that. Pride. The pride of life. Look at the three sins there. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat. She didn't commit more than the three sins there. The lust of the flesh. The tree was good for food, flesh. And it was pleasant to the eyes, the lust of the eyes. And the tree to be desired to make one wise, pride of life. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to the husband with her, and did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. That was where they went under. They were naked. That is, they were stripped of honor and dignity from that point. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. You see, now they started providing for themselves. Struggle began. They lost divine provision to self-provision. Tonight, in the name of Jesus, someone here will be delivered from the spirit of the world in the name of Jesus Christ. So beware of the spirit of the world. This is the lust of flesh. That's where adultery, fornication, and all of these things comes in. The lust of the eyes. That's covetousness. You have one thing, you are still fighting. You have two things, you are still fighting somebody who has just one. And the pride of life. Nobody can talk to you. Nobody can control you. You want to be like other people, so you put yourself under certain situation. Beware. This is where Satan comes in. Beware if you want to be victorious over sin. You have to watch out for all of this. Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:12, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, number two, in order to enjoy cheap victory over sin, we must beware of end time satanic traps. There is no doubt we are in the end time, and there are traps everywhere. Now, what is a trap? A trap is a device or enclosure designed to catch and retain animals, typically by allowing entry but not exit, or by catching hold of a part of the body. So when you enter, you can go out. That's a trap. And trap is a situation in which people lie in wait to make a surprise attack. And that's what the devil does. So you and I must beware of end time satanic traps. Look at the counsel of Apostle Paul to his spiritual son, Timothy. We must beware of end time satanic traps. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. It says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Another translation says, difficult times will come. Hard times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving. I'm reading from New King James Version. Slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying his power. And from such people, turn away. Turn away. Run. That's what it means. This is the end time. If you look at all of these descriptions very critically, you won't look too far before you see it. Maybe right in your house, you can see some manifesting already. Maybe in your place of work, you can see some manifesting already. Maybe in your community, you can see some manifesting already. Maybe on the TV, you can see some manifesting already. Perhaps in the church, you see a number of it manifesting already. It's not far-fetched. This is the end time. And then you must beware. That's one thing I love about this commission. There are not so many doctrines here. Just basic doctrines. I mean, you focus and you run with it. Things that could make one get to the kingdom of God. It's not about all this ceremony and the ceremonious things going on everywhere in the world. But one thing that is needful, the gospel, the salvation of souls, of men. Praise the Lord. I've said it times to that number. We may not be doing everything others are doing, but the few we are doing, you can't fault it. Can you fault prayer and fasting? No. Can you fault kingdom advancement prayer? No. Can you fault soul winning? No. Can you fault the speaking in tongues? No. All of these things are scriptural. They are biblical. That's why you must beware, especially that this church is moving from bricks and mortar to virtual to online. There are so many things popping up on YouTube, so many things popping up on social media. You have to beware. There are deceivers out there because we are in the end time. Some of them are just trap of the enemy. Oh, just send your number. Oh, just send this. And they begin to send false doctrine, false teachings. And before you know it, if you stay too long in some of those things, you begin to believe them. And before you know it, you begin to dislike the truth. There's a way you hear the false. You hear something negative. Hear it. And it now becomes like the truth. And you now begin to hate the truth. That's why you must beware. I pray that somebody is being delivered tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. Also in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving it to seducing spirits. Now, this seducing spirit is not just humanizing. We know the word seduce to mean opposite sex, trying to lure somebody. But this one is spiritual, you know, seduction. Just like in the Old Testament, God described people that are moving from God to other, you know, worshiping of idols as adultery and, you know, like that. So some people will leave the truth and they'll be seduced into lying spirit. Seducing spirit and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. You see some of them, they'll be speaking lies and you know that this thing cannot be truth. And their conscience is already dead. They can't even understand what they are saying at all. And some individuals, we also follow them like that. Beware. Beware. In the name of Jesus, nobody will fall into the trap of the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, having learned these two things to beware, let us consider three essentials of victory over sins. Number one, that is the tools that will help us gain victory, gain mastery over sins. Number one, a purposeful heart. If you want to be victorious over sin, you must purpose in your heart. A purposeful heart. Purpose in your heart, like Daniel, not to defile yourself. We mentioned this on Sunday. We must purpose in our hearts. And I would like us to go and check Sunday service and, you know, listen to it again. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, the Bible says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of a king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of a prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. The word purpose means to make up one's mind. He made up his mind. His mind was already made up. That is why when you see someone that has made up his mind, no matter the persuasion, no matter the counseling, what he's going to do is what he's going to do. Praise the Lord. So, but always make up your mind to do the right thing. Don't make up your mind to do the wrong thing. Make up your mind that you are never going to sin. When I was coming to the United States of America, I had so many negative news. I made up my mind. If there is no church in America, I will never go back. And I made up my mind and also equipped myself with books. I didn't bring a whole lot of stuff, but I make sure I brought enough of my books, at least that the baggage can contain as much as is, acceptable. And also tapes. Praise the Lord. It's a matter of determination. That's why I love that song, I've Got My Mind Made Up. Got my made up, and I won't turn back. You need to make up your mind. And we saw how this Daniel became so successful because he will not yield to sin because he has purposed in his heart. We saw that in Daniel chapter 6, verse 1 to 5. Darius decided to appoint 120 governors, reading from Good News Translation, to hold office throughout his empire. In addition, he chose Daniel and two others to supervise the governors and to look after the king's interest. Daniel soon showed that he could do better work than the other supervisors or the governors because he was so outstanding. The king considered putting him in charge of the whole empire. Then the other supervisors and the governors tried to find something wrong. You see, temptation came again and opposition came again because he singled himself out. Now, when you single yourself out, when you decide to purpose your heart, there will be temptation. That is not easy to do. But once you have purposed your heart to do the right thing, God will always fight for you. They threw Daniel into the lion's den, but he came out unhurt, victorious. I pray in the name of Jesus, in spite of the opposition, when you make up your mind, you will always be victorious. Say a bigger amen. So number one way to be victorious over sin, purpose not to be sinful. Purpose not to commit any sin. Make that determination in your heart. Number two, engage the power of faith. We must engage the power of faith for our desired victory. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. But hear me, faith is not a cheap talk. Faith is hard work. So when we say engage faith, it's not just, oh, I believe I'm not going to fall. No, work at it. Go for materials that will make you to stand very strong. Read the word to the point that you have caught the revelation. Engage in prayer and fasting to boost your faith. Here, always constantly be under the power of the word of God. Then begin to exercise your authority. Praise the Lord. That's how to overcome by faith. Believe you can overcome sin. Build your faith in the word of God to overcome sin. Then you now begin to live a lifestyle of faith to overcome sin. And number three, engage the power of vow. Engage the power of vow. We must engage the power of vow. Vow is declaring certain statements with an oath, possibly with a punishment to match, to remain standing on a particular course. You make a declaration, possibly with an oath or with a punishment to hard, standing on a particular belief. For instance, years back, God's servant was leading young people into holy marriage, no fornication, and older people don't go into adultery. And when he was about to be married, Satan came to him. You are going to commit fornication. And he made a vow. I believe in the name of Jesus, I can never commit fornication. But if I do, Lord, strike me with leprosy. That's a vow. So with that, he worked at it. He believed it. And he followed it. And that helped him to stand very strong. Now, look at another biblical example. Job. In Job chapter 31, verse 1 to 3. The word says, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? For what portion of God is there from above, and what inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is not destruction to the wicked, and a strange punishment to the workers of iniquity? Look at that was a testimony of Job. I made a covenant with my eyes. I will not think upon a maid. Now, in chapter 2 of that same Job, verse 8 to 10, and he took him a post head to scrape himself with her, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speaketh as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? Praise the Lord. See, Job was a covenant man. Job was a man that knew where he was going. But the success of Job was a kind of vow. From that one example of making vow with his eyes not to look upon a maid, I believe it's the same thing that worked for him, that he has made a vow with God. He will never deny God. Praise the Lord. That's the same mindset of Apostle Paul. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That he said, woe upon me if I preach not the gospel. So, if you want to live above sin, you must engage the power of vow. Something like, Lord, if I do this, let this happen. Now, it may look like, a curse, but the truth is, that will help you to maintain the right standard. Because Satan will be looking for every opportunity to make you fall. For instance, you are working in a company and temptation is always coming to compromise your standard of receiving bribe or whatever. You can place a vow. Lord, rather than me falling short and joining this group, take this job away from me. Anything that will make me to fall, take this job. So for as long as you want to remain in that job, you maintain your righteous standard. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to teach you what to say, but you know your area of weakness and you can know how to overcome it by making specific statement. And when you make that statement genuinely from your heart, you will never fall. Just like Esther. He said, I will go to the king. If I perish, I perish. That's a vow too. I will go. But anyone that stands his ground on righteous cause like that will never perish. I pray in the name of Jesus with these three lessons tonight, God is going to uphold you, that you're going to stand strong in the Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. In Job chapter 13, verse 15, finally he said, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him, but I will maintain my own ways before him. Or rather put, I will maintain my vow before him. Please rise with me tonight. Is somebody blessed with this word? Very short, but I believe you learned some lessons. Lift up your voice and begin to pray for grace to continue to put the word to work. Lord, I receive grace to continue to put the word to work in the name of Jesus. Help me to beware of sinful nature. Help me to beware of the traps of the enemy. Help me, O Lord, to beware of the spirit of the world. And Lord, help me to continue to build my faith for victory. In the name of Jesus Christ, help me, O God, to continue to operate standard, to put my vow in place and to continue to stand by it in the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody is receiving grace tonight in the name of Jesus. From today, help me to engage my faith to be victorious over sin in the name of Jesus. Thank you, mighty Father. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Please take your seat. It all begins with having a determination. Purpose in your heart. Daniel, purpose in your heart. Now, you are under the sound of my voice tonight. You are not born again. You have to purpose in your heart tonight to surrender your life to Jesus. And that's where it all begins. Now, you want to receive Jesus Christ tonight. I would like to pray for you wherever you are tonight. Because you cannot overcome sin when you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Everything we have said tonight is not going to work until you have first received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Please say this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I come to you tonight. I know I have sinned. I'm falling short of your glory. Forgive me all of my sins. Wash me with your blood you shed for me on the cross of Calvary. Father, come into my life. I make you my Lord and Savior. Power to overcome sin. Power to live perpetually in victory over sin. I receive it tonight. In Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you for listening to Winners Chapel International New York's podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and share the link with your friends and family. Visit us online at www.winnerschapelny.org and fellowship with us online on our YouTube channel, Winners Chapel International New York. Have a blessed week. God loves you. See you next time.